In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our text for the Festival of the Reformation is from John chapter 8. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, I was digging around in the library recently and ran across a story that I wanted to share with you. Now, this is one of those stories that really doesn't change anything, but I think it's a good reminder that we don't choose our own history. Rather, it is given us as an inheritance. In the spring of 1931, a young theologian traveling across the country came to St. Louis, Missouri. He was 25 years old, and he wanted to see everything he could. So while he was here in town, he visited this very campus of Concordia Seminary, which in those days was still new. He strolled among the buildings, explored the quadrangles, took in all the sights, just like we do today. And Concordia Seminary made an impression upon this young man. In fact, he wrote about it in the reports of his travels to the folks back home. And reflecting more broadly on the state of Lutheranism in America, and German Lutheranism in particular, he came to some definite conclusions. For example, there is no pure German church, as far as I know, anywhere in America, he said. He noted that in some Lutheran churches, preaching was still in German, but in his experience, the sermons were pretty dismal. Now, as far as Concordia Seminary was concerned, which he noted was of the Missouri Synod, the pastors that Concordia Seminary produced were, quote, in their exclusive orthodoxy, insufferable. And although the Missouri Synod has made the greatest financial sacrifice in building this campus, it is, without question, on its way to collapse. End quote. He went on and talked about how Lutheran pastors generally did not have good training in the United States. He noticed that in the worship services of the Lutheran churches, only a few old people came, hardly any young people. That was because the preaching wasn't any good. And he concluded his report by observing, quote, of a particular understanding of the Reformation heritage in these churches, I found not a trace. Can you believe this guy? What arrogance! He's talking about us, or at least who we were in 1931. But just who does this guy think he is? And just who does he think we are? Well, those were my first questions when I read this. But this young theologian may be excused. I suppose he was what his circumstances had made him. And sure, he thought we were losers, and that our seminary and our synod were going belly up. Now, perhaps he was right about the lousy preaching, but I find it particularly irritating that he assumed that we didn't get the Reformation, let alone follow its teachings. But we can forgive him. He didn't know us very well, and he didn't understand our history. He wasn't from around here. In fact, he was from Berlin, Germany, and his name was Dietrich Bonhoeffer. You too, Dietrich. We thought we knew you. We thought you were one of us. We thought we knew who we are. And those were my first thoughts when I read this. Now, perhaps he was right. Now, before all of you run out and as a community tear up your copies of Life Together, please wait. The purpose of the story, which is true, by the way, The purpose of this story is not to have us all look at poor Dietrich in disappointment or at ourselves in embarrassment, but rather to have us realize something else. This day, the Festival of the Reformation, is for Lutherans perhaps the most dangerous day in the church year, because on this day we are tempted to focus on ourselves as Lutherans, on our glorious heritage, at our illustrious brilliance at being Lutherans. We have the greatest reformer, we've got the best theology, we have the most faithful confessions, the best hymns, we've got it all figured out. Now, don't get me wrong, it is good and right for us to be Lutherans. But who do we follow? Who do we follow? Bonhoeffer? Sure, to a point. He is a witness to Christ. He is a martyr, Saint Dietrich. But whom do we follow? Luther? To be sure. He is a martyr too, the Blessed Martin, called in a different way to witness to Christ. But whom are we following? And where are we going? Our faith is determined not by the personal reassurance we may have as Lutherans. Our confession is not decided by what others think of us or even by what we think of ourselves. Our faith is defined, our faith is formed by Jesus Christ crucified for us, the gospel. And that is the message that Martin Luther proclaimed. And that is what we celebrate on Reformation Day. And that is why it is good for us to hear again Christ's words recorded in John chapter 8. If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. If the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Jesus had been speaking to Jews who had believed in him. They don't need to be freed from anything, they think, because they have Abraham as their ancestor. It makes no difference, Jesus says, because everyone who sins is a slave to sin. And slaves have no permanent place in the household. But a son remains forever. Who is a son? One set free by the Son. And all those abiding in his word are true disciples who know the truth and are set free. Sin doesn't care who your favorite reformer is. Sin and death don't care what church you go to or what seminary you attend. Sin, death, and the devil only care about who your master is. Whom do you follow? Whose word do you obey? In whose way are you going? Being justified by faith alone, in Christ alone, by grace alone, is not your inalienable right, not a personal privilege handed down. Your freedom is not inherited from your Lutheran ancestors. Only Christ gives this freedom to those abiding in his word. So why are we free? Because we are in Christ. We are in his word. We are his disciples. We have the truth. We have him who is the truth. We are free because Christ alone is the object of our faith, not ourselves, not our heritage, not Bonhoeffer, not Luther, nor any saints, but Christ alone. His glorious suffering, his glorious death, his glorious resurrection to save wretched sinners. He has set us free from sin and from death and from the devil, and we are free indeed. And as sons and daughters, freed children, we dwell in his word. We take up permanent residence in Christ Jesus. And as true sons and daughters, we abide in God's saving presence among us. But why follow Christ? Because Christ calls us. And the way may be hard, but we follow Christ. As Luther proclaimed 495 years ago today, Christians should be exhorted to be zealous to follow Christ, their head, through penalties, deaths, and hells. And let them thus be more confident of entering heaven through many tribulations rather than through a false assurance of peace. Where Christ bids us follow may shake our confidence to its very foundations. But we follow Christ. Remaining in Christ's words, we are free. You are free. This day, you are free. This day and every day, you are free indeed through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We rise for prayer.